Amen. Good morning. Or you can stand the whole time if you want. It's your call. Y'all good today? Okay. Well, make sure you tell your voice that or your face that. Like, are y'all good today? All right, man. Goodness. y'all good? Yeah, I'm good. It's good. Life is great. All right, man. Hey, it's good to be with you all today. I'm looking forward to starting a new series today, but I just want to say thank you to those that served and came early and did everything that you guys did over this Easter season. I mean, I believe God was glorified. I'm so glad that we got to celebrate Easter last week. I love being able to walk through the last series that we had. We spent 8 days looking from Sunday to Sunday at Jesus' life, from his triumphal entry to his resurrection. And I think it's important for us to know and to see that Jesus was in charge that whole time, right? From when he entered into that city, everything that Jesus did was on purpose, for a purpose. He pursued the cross for you and me, knowing that we needed him, church. He willingly paid the price that we owed. He suffered and died, and he rose again for you and me. And so we praise God for that. We can have a personal relationship with Jesus. Do y'all have a good Easter? Yeah, it was good. Praise God, man. Justin and the worship team, thanks for all you guys did to prepare for that and for Good Friday as well. This morning, we begin a new series focusing on the life we live and the life that God calls us to. As I was preparing for this series, I was thinking about 19 months ago, I was in Kansas City spending time with family and celebrating the life of my grandma. My last grandma, it kind of has that impact on you, right? It's just like, no more grandmas, right? And I remember, I led the service, and I remember when we were at the cemetery, there was one thing that stuck out to me, and it's really one thing that sticks out to me every time I go to a cemetery, and it's a dash. On every headstone, there was a dash. You have the date of birth. You have the date they passed away, but in the middle, it's usually the smallest thing on the whole stone, but it's the thing that tells the biggest story. That dash represents that person's entire life. For my grandma, that dash represented her childhood. It represented when she trusted in Jesus. That dash represented when she fell in love and got married to my grandpa. It represented how she loved and raised her kids and how she worked and how she loved her grandkids. That dash represented the good times and the hard times and the bad times and the sweet times. When I was preaching her funeral, I didn't spend a lot of time talking about her birth or her death, but we spent a lot of time talking about that dash, about her life. And that's what matters, church. We don't really think about it, but right now in this moment, you and I are living out our dash, and how we live it matters. James 4:14 says this, it says, "Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring, what your life will be, for you are like vapor that appears for a little while, then vanishes." We don't have a lot of cold weather here, although some of you all act like we do, right? I'm running around in shorts and a t-shirt, and y'all are running around in your parkas. Like, I haven't quite figured that out yet, but I remember growing up when it got cold outside, I wanted to go out so that I could take that deep breath and breathe, right? I wanted to see my breath. Anybody else do that? Okay, those that didn't, okay, all right. But I thought it was the coolest thing in the world. Like, you can see your breath. James is saying, just like that breath, compared to all eternity, our life is like a vapor. But that life matters. Your dash matters. When God created you, he didn't just speak and create. He took the time. The Bible says he knit you together in the womb. He lovingly and purposely made you so that you could live the life that he designed for you. But sometimes we forget that each and every moment in our life is important. How we face and walk through every situation, it matters, church, right? Our dash matters. And that's the idea that we're looking at over the next 5 weeks or so. We're going to be looking to Scripture to see people and moments in their life and to see how they lived their life. When they were leading other people, how did they live? When life was overwhelming for them, how did they live? When sin entered their life, how did they live? When big moments or hard moments happened, how did they live? While the world around them was living like the world, how did they live? I love what the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 5 and 6. We see a phrase that describes the life of two men. There's a man named Enoch and there's a man named Noah. And here's how the Bible describes their dash. It says that Enoch and Noah walked with God. What a great phrase to be written about you. And y'all, that's in the Bible. Like the whole world gets to read about their dash, that they walked with God. What a great phrase that we would love to be said about us. As we live out our dash, as we live each day, as we live through each moment and situation, church, let's live in a way where it can be said about us that he or she walked with God. This morning, to get us started, we're going to look at the life of a man named Joshua. This is going to be the introduction into our series. And so if you have your Bibles, open them with me to Joshua chapter 1. It's in the Old Testament. It's the fifth book in the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua 6. I do love Tucson, but I hate allergies. Anybody else with me? All right. In Joshua chapter 1, we're going to see that Joshua is being called by God to live a life, a specific life for the Lord. God is going to call him to serve the Lord and to live for the Lord in a really big way. And what we're going to see today is going to help us as we walk through this entire series. We're going to lay out some fundamentals for us as we live for Christ, and we're going to do so in a courageous way. God is going to tell Joshua, and he's going to teach all of us. He said, this is how you can walk with God courageously. And so what we're going to do is we're going to read through this entire passage, Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 10, and then we're going to walk through it and see what God is teaching us and how we can apply it to our life. Sound good? All right, let's dive in. If you guys are able, would you stand? And we're going to, you guys follow along as I read the Word of God. Here's what God's Word says to us. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross the Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving to you, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give the people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you in this moment. And God, it's what a pleasure it is to come and worship you, to sing to you, to gather with your people, to open the word of God. God, we want to hear from you today. Would you use me? God, would you speak to all of us? Would you help us respond to you today? When we open up the word of God, it should change us a little bit to be more and more like you. So, Father God, would you speak to us today? I pray, God, if there's anybody in here today that does not know Jesus, that today would be the day they would surrender their life to him. I pray, Lord, for people today that are coming in with heavy burdens, God, that you would lift those off of them today and help them hear from you and remind them that you love them and that you are with them. God, we give you this time. We pray, Lord, you teach us. In Christ's name we pray. And all God's people said, be seated. We have the scene set for us in verse 1. It says, now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. For 40 years, God used Moses to lead his people. God used Moses to lead them out of Egypt. He used them to cross the Red Sea, right? Through Moses, God gave his people his word and his commands, and he gave them a promise. God told his people through Moses, there is a land that I have for you. I know you're in slavery right now, but I have a land and a place for you to call your own. I've got a promised land for you. He also used Moses to tell his people, I'm going to lead my people and give this in this land. And he used Moses to tell them, tell my people to trust me and to follow me and to worship me. God called Moses and he used Moses to be their leader. Moses would even go to God on their behalf. He helped them understand God's word and deal with some of their issues. For 40 years, Moses led God's people. And as he led, he trusted God to provide for all of them, to lead them and to be with them. Moses was a great leader. But in verse 2, God is telling Joshua that that great leader, Moses, is now dead. I think this would have been hard for Joshua. Amen, church, right? If you've ever lost someone you love that was close to you, you get it, right? There's just that hole that doesn't get filled. Joshua and Moses were close. But Moses was also Joshua's leader. He poured into him. He trained him. He really discipled him and prepared him for this moment. And God, even before this passage, had made it clear that when Moses was gone, Joshua would be the next leader. But here's the thing about this whole situation. Moses had led his people, but Moses did not lead God's people all the way to the promised land. They were not there yet. God had been with them. He had been using Moses to lead them this far, and now they're without Moses. But there's still more to do. More rivers to cross, more enemies to defeat, more land to cover. And so God is about to tell Joshua, I have a calling on your life, Joshua. I have a job for you. I've got a life for you to live. Look at verse 2. God says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, Joshua, therefore, arise. Cross this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I'm giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Now is the time, Joshua. You need to arise. And just as Moses followed me and led my people, you are to do the same. He's saying, Joshua, I'm calling you to follow me and to lead my people. Now here's the problem. There are tough rivers to be crossed. There are at least 31 kings and their armies that they needed to get through or conquer. They had land that they needed to get to that God had promised his people. You guys ever get a task and you look at it and you're like, I don't know how in the world I'm going to accomplish that. And so here's Joshua. He's hanging out with God. He's listening to God. It's day one on the job. And God says, all right, Joshua, it's go time. I've got a plan. I've got a job for you. I'm giving you responsibility. Now, we might sit here today and we say, Pastor, I can't relate to Joshua at all. I'm not leading after Moses. I'm not leading all of God's people. I'm not leading people across the river and through the kingdoms. But here's the thing. Each person in here is called by God. God has a plan for your life. He has a job for you. He has a role for you to fill. He has given you responsibility. For you, it may be that God has called you to be a godly husband or a godly wife. And you may say, man, I rocked the dating scene, right? I was really good at dating. I was good at being engaged, but now you're married. And God is calling you to be the husband and the spiritual leader that your wife needs and that God calls you to be. Or you're the wife that God calls you to be and that your husband needs you to be. You now have to love one another, respect one another, work together until death do you part. Amen, church, right? Or maybe you're holding that new baby. And it was one thing to have the baby showers and you baby-proof your home and you paint the nursery. But now you got to take that kiddo home. And you got to care for them. Right? And you got to love them and you got to protect them and you got to provide every single thing they need. And if you've been a parent, you know they need a lot. Or maybe your kids have grown and now you've got this amazing middle schooler or teenager and you're presented with new challenges and God's calling you to be a parent to them. Or maybe you're growing up and now it's your parents who are now in a place where they need you to care for them. Maybe you started a new job. Maybe God has called you into a new ministry. Maybe you've been serving in that ministry and now God is calling you to lead that ministry. Maybe you're surrounded by a sinful world as God is calling you to live for Him in a way that shows that you're His and He wants you to go and share the gospel. Maybe God is calling you to the mission field. Maybe He wants you to be a pastor or to go and tell your neighbor about Jesus. Guys, we can go on and on and on with the examples about how God has a calling on your life. But let's own this. God is calling you. He has got a plan for you. He's got a task, a job, a mission for you to live out. And He's called every single one of us to walk with Him, to grow in our walk with Him, and to tell others about Him. He's called all of us, church, to be a part of this local church family and to serve and to live a life of following Jesus. Church, we can relate to Joseph here more than we think. We might not be doing exactly what he's doing, but God has a calling. He's given you responsibility. And he's standing here probably feeling not ready, right? He's probably feeling unqualified. We know the Bible says that he's scared, right? We're going to see that here in a little bit. And all of those concerns and feelings would make sense. Joseph is standing before all of these people. He needs to lead them. He's looking at this, at these rivers, and he's looking out at these kingdoms that are in his way, and this fear sets within him. Joseph knows if he's going to do this by himself, he should be scared. If you and I are going to be the husbands and wives and parents and leaders and friends and neighbors and workers and godly people that God has called us to be, and if we have to do all of that on our own, we would be crazy to not be scared. But listen to what Joshua is told by God in verse 3. God says, hey, Joshua, listen up. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, all these places that you're seeing, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, all of those things you're worried about will be your territory. The task would be overwhelming. But what God says to Joshua would be so encouraging. Listen to what God says. God tells him, I am going to lead you and my people to make this trip and to complete this task and to take this land. But God is also saying, it's already yours. I already gave it to you. But notice something really important here. Notice what God does not say, okay? God does tell Joshua, I'm going to use you. God does tell Joshua, I have a calling on your life. God does tell Joshua, I have a mission for you. God does tell Joshua the end results. This is what's going to happen. These are my promises. But God does not tell Joshua how all of this will happen. He doesn't tell him all the details. God doesn't tell Joshua, here's how you're going to cross the river. Here's how you're going to win these battles. Here's the exact game plan as to how you're going to take this land. He says, Joshua, here's my promises. I'm calling you. I'm going to use you. All of this is going to happen, but I need you to trust me with the how. You're going to have to trust me with the details. Y'all, that like hit me hard this week. Because I think if we're honest, we really want the details, don't we? Right? Isn't that what we want? Right? Before we step out, God, before we do what you're clearly calling me to do, I want you to give me all the details. God, I hear you. I see what the Bible says. I know you're calling me to do this or that. It's clear, God, I hear you. But you know, for me to start doing what you've called me to do, I need a little something from you. I need to see your blueprints, God. I need to see your plans. I'm going to need to see the step by step, and then I'll go. But that's not faith. That's not trusting in God, is it? Church, God might call you out to the unknown. He might call you to do something new. He might call you to follow after a great leader. God might have you step into a role or into a challenge that you know is going to be hard or difficult. You might be scared, right? You might be scared as a parent for the first time. You might be facing a hard time in your marriage or with your kids. God might be calling you into ministry or to serve in a new way in your church. And many times God is just asking us to arise and go, just as he did with Joshua. He might not give you, maybe he does, praise God, maybe he gives you the manual, but he might not give you the manual on how to do it. But here's what God will do. He will send you out with his promises, and he is always faithful, church. We've been talking about this phrase for a long time. You can trust God. If God calls you to it, he will be faithful throughout all of it. we can be courageous in what God calls us to do because we can trust in Him. We have trust issues in this world, and it makes sense because you and I let people down all the time. Other people have let us down all the time. But we can trust God. He's faithful. If He calls you to it, He'll be faithful through it. And then we get to a key phrase that God repeats to Joshua three different times in this text. Look at verse 5. God has given Joshua this new calling. He's given him his promise, and then he says, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I've been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Church, not only can we trust in the promises of God, but we can trust in the presence of God, right? God's telling Joshua, here's how you'll be able to accomplish all that I'm going to accomplish, and you'll be able to do it with courage. You're going to be able to live this out because of my promises and because of my presence. He's saying, bro, I'm going to be with you. He says, I will be with you. I will not fail you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you or abandon you. I know others may have done that in your life. Others have done that in your life, but I will never leave you nor forsake you. Not that long ago, I was out teaching my kids how to ride their bikes. I've done that with the oldest all the way down to the youngest. And we adopted, as you guys know, our daughter. She was 7 when we brought her home from Hungary. For some reason, she had never learned how to ride a bike. Right? And so I would help my kids each step of the way. Any parents in here taught their kids how to ride their bike? Did you lose your Christianity? Are we still good? Okay. Right? And then you're helping them ride, right? You help them balance, you help them pedal, you help them get on, you help them go, right? And then as they get going, they get a little more comfortable. You feel a little more comfortable. You think they're doing well. And so you let go, right? Don't worry, we're on grass when we do it. I know y'all probably did it in the middle of the street, but we did it on grass, right? And before we get to that point where I'm hanging on to their handle and I'm hanging on to their seat, are you all with me? And we're kind of going. Am I crazy? Am I the only one? Okay, you're kind of going along. And then you get to the point where you let go of the handle, but you're still kind of hanging on to the seat, and they can see you, right? But then you get to a point where you let go and you start praying really hard, right? You let go. And guess what they do? They ride. Right? They're riding their bike. They don't freak out until what? Until they turn around and see that you're not right there with them. And what do? They panic, they freak out, and they fall down. It's so much fun being a parent, right? But church, as we're learning how to follow Jesus, as we're walking with God, Jesus never lets go of the bike. He never lets go. He never leaves us. That's who God is. Guys, we were created to be with God, to walk with God, to follow God, to obey God, to trust God. Now, we may have to learn how to ride a bike on our own, but that's not how God created us to live the life that He's given us, church. We were never meant to do life without Him. Now, obviously, sin messed that up. It severed that relationship. But praise God, Jesus came to restore that relationship. We just celebrated Jesus, the only one who could. He came to die for us and rise again to restore that relationship. Side note, if you don't know Jesus, He came for you. He came so you could have a relationship in eternity with Jesus. But Jesus is Emmanuel. That's who He is. He is who? Emmanuel means God with us. Y'all are good, man. We saw last week in Matthew 28 that Jesus not only came to be Emmanuel, God with us, right? But when we trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior, He makes us a promise. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. In one verse, we have His promise and His presence. I'm with you even to the end of the age. And Joshua can trust God with this promise because he saw it lived out with Moses. It's not like he's just like blindly following Him. He saw Him be faithful to Moses. He saw that God never left Moses. And so God says to Joshua here, He says, dude, just as I was been with Moses, I will be with you. Y'all, God has a really good track record with this one. Amen? Think about this, church. He gave that same promise to Jacob, and He kept it. He gave that same promise to Moses, and He kept it. He gave that same promise to Joshua, and He kept it. God also promised that He would be with Gideon and the Jewish exiles. And then that promise came all the way down, given to you and me personally when we trust in Jesus. Here's what that means. God will never put you in a place where He's not there with you. He'll never ask you to go somewhere or do something where He is not willing to go and do it with you. God will be with you as you father, as you husband, as you mom, as you wife, as you kid, as you student, as you work. God will be with you as you share the gospel and as you serve in the church. God will be with you as you walk through really hard decisions and take really big steps. He'll be with you as he calls you into ministry or calls you to a new job or calls you to lead. This is good news as we think about this series that we're in. No matter what you face, no matter what situation or season, God is there with you. Jesus is still Emmanuel, and he always will be. And God is telling Joshua here, brother, I am with you always as you lead my people, as you cross the river, as you confront the kingdoms, as you take your land, I am with you. You can trust me. That's an amen, by the way, just so you know. And then in verse 6, we see what happens when we trust in God. God says, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. He says, be strong and courageous, for you shall give the people possession of the land which I swore to the fathers to give to them. Y'all, God is saying, do you want to have the strength and courage that Moses had? Do you want to have the courage that of what to do what I'm calling you to do? He says that courage comes from knowing and believing that I am with you and that I will never leave you. You know, it's really interesting if you're walking through a store or you're walking across the street or you're doing something and you're holding your little kiddo's hands, there's not a problem in the world, is there? You let go when they panic. God never lets go. I needed to be reminded of this passage this week. We often approach things with timidity and fear, don't we? But God says, you don't have to be that way. I'm not going anywhere. Have confidence that I'm with you, and that will lead you to be strong and courageous as you live for me. Anything God calls us to do, he calls us to do with him. But here's what God's saying. If you try to tackle this life without me, you try to go this alone, then you're going to be full of fear and doubt and question and failure. But live courageously knowing I'm with you. Church, it's his strength that empowers you. It's not you. It's not you that empowers you. It's him. Verse 7. As Joshua is about to live out this calling that God has for him, listen to what God says next. He says, only be strong and very courageous. He says, be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Don't turn to the right or to the left so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and you'll have success. God's saying, Joshua, do you want to be able to do everything that I've called you to do? Do you want to do it with courage? Then God's saying, you've got to know my promises. You got to know that I'm there with you, but you've got to follow my commands. God mentions in verse 7 that to be strong and courageous, you have to trust me and you have to be careful to do according to all the law. The CSB translation says it this way. It says, observe carefully the whole instruction. And he says, don't turn from it to the right or to the left. Why? So that you may have success wherever you go. As he follows God, as he lives for God, he is to do all of that, observing all of God's word, and he's to lead God's people to do the same. Church, if we keep reading all of Joshua, and if you keep reading all of the Old Testament, here's what you're going to see. God's people, Israel's success was never determined by how smart they were or how powerful they were. Ever. Their success as a people and as a nation was always based and determined on their obedience to the will of God. That's a big statement. When they listen and obey to all of God's word, they succeed. But when they ignore God and disobey his word, when they only follow some of it and dismiss the rest of it, they fail every single time. And God says, when it comes to my word, he says, don't sway from it. Don't go to the right or to the left. Joshua, you're going to hear things to the right and to the left. But if those things that you're hearing are not in line with my words, don't sway. Guys, here's the thing about us. We know the word of God. We know it to be true, but how often do we hear our own opinion or we're swayed by the opinions of others instead of God's? If our thoughts line up with his, awesome. If the opinions and suggestions and ideas of others line up with God's word, great. But if they don't, God says, don't sway. We need to understand that who we listen to and who we follow matters. They have more influence over you than we think. Amen, church? They do. And then God says this about his word in verse 8. He says, you should meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Here's a great word to Joshua and a great reminder to us. Don't just read it, church. Meditate on it. I'm not talking about the weird thing. You're like, I'm not talking about that, right? Don't just read it. We meditate. I know that's not how you, I get it. All right. Don't just read it to try to get through it, church. Don't just read it to try to say, hey, I read all of this today, but take the time to meditate on it. I think you're going to get more out of this much than this much if you take the time to meditate on it. I'm a loose cannon today. I apologize. Church, when we come to God's word, read it. Let it sit with us. That's what God's telling Joshua, to live courageously and to accomplish what I'm calling you to do. I need you to not only hear it and read it, but I need you to meditate on my word. In Hebrew, the word for meditate, it means to think deeply about it for an extended period, but it also means to mutter. Meditating on God's word was something that you would do aloud. You would read it and you would speak the word of God out loud. And the idea is that not only are we reading it and hearing it, but we're thinking about it, and then we're saying it out loud. Why? Because this helps us remain focused on God's word as we study it. It helps God's word become ingrained, not only in our minds, but in our hearts. The big picture here is that we study, and we're to study for our own lives, but also study so that we can teach others for their lives. God is saying, Joshua, you will succeed when you follow my commands. I think that's a promise for us, church. We're going to succeed when we follow God's plans. And here's another promise. You will not succeed when you don't. The people that you lead, they're going to prosper when they follow all of God's word. They will not prosper when they don't. Guys, to live the life God has called us to, no matter what it is that God is calling you to do, to be the parents, the spouse, the friend, the employer, the neighbor, the missionary, the teacher, the soldier, the minister that God calls you to do, we've got to be in his word, and you got to meditate on it, and you got to share it. No matter what God calls you to, God is telling Joshua, he's telling us, how can we can live courageously? It's by spending time with God. It's trusting in him, following his word. But it's also by knowing that he's with you. We see it repeated again here in verse 9. He says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God knows the task that he has given Joshua is too big for him. Y'all, that saying that God won't give you more than you can handle, that's a dumb saying. It's not true. What the saying should say is God won't give you more than you can handle with him. God gives us stuff we can't handle. If you're a parent, you can say amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord, right? You know you can't handle that. I love you, boys, right? God knows the task for Joshua is too big on his own. And so three different times in these 9 verses, God says, you can do this. You can do it courageously, not because of your experience, not because of your skill set, but because of my presence. Church, that's a game changer. It's a game changer for Joshua. Knowing God is with him, Joshua's like, let's go, guys. That's a game changer. How do we know it's a game changer? He responds. In verse 10, it says, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people to do what? Everything God just told him to do. Now that Moses is gone, God says, brother man, you are up. This is the mission. This is my calling on your life. This is what is going to happen. And God says, here's how you can accomplish this with courage. Spend time with me. Keep listening to me. Keep trusting me and know that I'm with you. And with all of that, with all of those words from God, Joshua arises and he does what God commands him to do. Church, as we think about this, obviously God is speaking to Joshua for a very specific task. But the truths that we see here are for us too. God is calling you and me to live a life that is pleasing to him. He's calling us to join a mission and to be on task and to live a life. He's calling you and me to live the life of a Jesus follower. God is saying, your dash matters. As children of God, as followers of Christ, how we live our life matters. And he's going to call us to do many different and difficult things. We're going to see examples of that as we walk through this series. Some really hard things that people just trusted in God, but God is laying out the groundwork, the fundamentals for us right here in this passage. And so it may be as a parent, as a spouse, it may be as you give, it may be as you serve, it may be as you tell others about Jesus, maybe the Lord is calling you into ministry. But whatever it is, here's how we can live that out. Truth number one, to live the life God has called you to and to live it courageously, you've got to spend time with God. You've got to spend time with God. Joshua was spending time with God. He was listening to his voice. Church, you and I cannot hear from God and live out his calling on our life if we're not spending time with him. Remember at the beginning, we saw Enoch and Noah. They what, church? They walked with God. They were intentional about spending time with God. Each day, church, we've got to spend time with him. Be intentional about finding time to be with God. It may be an hour, it may be 5 minutes, but we got to do it, church. Truth number two, we got to know there's a whole lot of voices that want to speak into your life, including your own. And they want to tell you who to trust and what to do. But Joshua chapter 1 shows us that you must put your trust in God. Put your trust in God over all the other voices. Throughout Scripture, we see that God keeps his promises. We can trust him, church, because he's faithful. We can trust in God. We can trust in his promises. Church, we can trust in his presence. That's who God is. He can't be who he's not, right? He is with us. He promises to be with us to the end of the age. Here's a good word. Others may have fled, but God doesn't run when things get hard. He doesn't abandon you when things get heavy. If parenting is hard right now, guess what? God is with you. If your marriage is hard right now, God is with you as you work through it. If sharing the gospel is scary, God is with you. If taking that next step that you know with certainty that God is calling you to do, he's with you. You can trust in his promise and depend on his presence. Truth number three, follow God's command. Follow all his commands. Y'all, we get ourselves in so much trouble here, don't we? Man, we know what God's word says, but too often we listen to our desires or the opinions of others instead of God's. But God says, don't go to the left, don't go to the right, but stay obedient to my word. And guys, let's get past this whole picking and choosing thing. We either trust God or we don't. We either trust the word of God or we don't. We pick and choose, but all of his word is truth. And to best follow his word, we have to be in it. Y'all know we have more access to the word than ever before. Let's be in it. And God says, don't be in a hurry, but meditate on my word. Know it. Trust it, study it, receive it, sit with it so that it's on your heart and so that we can share it with others. His word should be in our hearts and spoken to others. Truth number four. Notice what God says as he instructs Joshua. I think this is going to be really important for us, church. God tells Joshua, go to the land which I am giving you. In verse 3, God says, every place you go, I have given you. Verse 5, no man can stop you because I will be with you. Verse 6, God talks about the promises that he swore to them. In verse 8, God says, you'll have success and prosper by following my word. If you keep reading, God keeps saying it. I did it. I gave it. In Joshua chapter 24, if you read all the way to the end, Joshua repeatedly says, God did it. God did it. Church, as we live our lives for the Lord, as we live out the calling of our life, as we pastor, as we parent, as we do marriage, as we serve, as we give, as we do what God is calling us to do, we need to understand that it's really God doing it in and through you. Truth number four, live for the glory of God, not for the glory of you. Live for the glory of God. Let's just have a moment of honesty here. Too often we're glory hogs. We take credit for what God did. Right? We take credit for what God allowed us to do. Guys, as we continue through this series, in every situation, in every calling, let's live for the glory of God. He did it. He's going to do it. Amen, church? You can trust in him. You can trust in his promises. You can trust in his presence. Follow all of God's command. Live for the glory of God.